Howdy. Howdy. That's better. That's liturgically southern. I'm so glad to be here with you. Jesus loves Wednesdays. This is his favorite day of the week. And you are his favorite group ever. I'm so honored to be here with you. I'm so honored to share this little bit of scripture, this teaching today, because to me it's so practical and very transforming. There's just a couple of verses I wanted to show you to make a point. When Jesus stood in the midst of them in the feast and began to teach, they were marveling. And they said, "How can this man become learned? How has this man become learned, having never been educated?" Jesus therefore answered them and said, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. And if any man is willing to do his will, he shall know the teaching, whether it is of God." That's a powerful thing that Jesus said, because remember that it's not just going to be the cool things that Jesus did in terms of signs and wonders that are expressions of his love for us, but it's also going to be Jesus modeling to us what the life of the new creation is like. If Jesus is the author and the perfecter of faith, the life he lived was a life of faith lived out perfectly, even though he was tempted in every way likened to us. So he totally understands everything we ever get tempted with. But he also modeled to us victory in all those places as a man, as a spirit-filled man, as a spirit-filled person. And so he models to us this way of life. We know that Jesus lives this way of life through us, but this way of life looks like something, and Jesus models this life before us and then intends, by our permission, to live that same life through us. And so when they looked at Christ, one of the things they said about Jesus is that they said, "How can this man be learned since he was not educated?" Now, he could read and write, of course. He was a carpenter, a carpenter's son, raised in Orville. Didn't go to higher school. And yet, he didn't feel intimidated by that in his humanity. Have you ever felt intimidated because you didn't think you were smart enough or educated enough? Do you ever feel insecure about that kind of thing? Jesus didn't. He didn't defend himself. When he heard them say that, he said he heard them say that and then answered them. He didn't answer them like, can you say that about me? And then start telling about what he learned and what he didn't learn. He didn't defend himself because he wasn't insecure. And the Jesus who lives in us doesn't do insecurity. That is so cool. That is such freedom. But Jesus said basically this. He said, "Here's the deal." He said, "What I'm teaching you, what I'm saying to you, is not from me, it's from him who sent me. And if any person's willing to do his will, he'll know whether something's from God." Wow. Like, I had somebody call or text me today. It was so encouraging, so blessed me so much. And they said, "I was doing something in my job and other people seemed to be getting elevated. Everybody in my little world got elevated to something but me. And I heard Jesus say, I'm having the time of my life." Wow, I thought, that is so cool. You're getting it. That's being taught by God. And so now he's thinking and speaking what Jesus says. Jesus said, "It's not me teaching you this. I'm saying the things they're from him." See, that's what it means to have the mind of Christ. When you have the mind of Christ, you ever heard about speaking your mind? People love to speak their mind. Everybody but the people you speak your mind to. But wouldn't it be better if we spoke the mind of Christ? Because we're hearing the voice of Christ. And here's this magic, deep, heavy-duty formula. Now, they said this about Jesus because he's doing this. The Holy Spirit's put this story here for all of us because he knows the brokenness, how we can feel insecure and unsure. And so here's this little story where they're questioning him. How could he be learned? Because he was not educated. But man, the things Jesus said was from a learned person. But he learned those things from his Father who lived in him. The Spirit was leading him into all truth too. All the truth that the Father wanted to manifest through him. And then Jesus says, here's the deep magic formula. If you want to live that way, you just got to be willing to do his will. Wow. Shouldn't it be more complicated than that? I mean, don't you have to have Heidi Baker lay hands on you at some point, or go to Bethel or something, or do something magical? No. This simple carpenter who lived as a man, this human, was able to say, the things I say to you come from the one who sent me. And he's very learned. He's very educated. And if anyone would be willing to do his will, you could live the same life, walk the same way. You know, there are six times in the scriptures where Jesus says something like, my hour is not yet come, or my hour is at hand. Five times is in the Gospel of John. And each time he says either my hour or my time is not yet here or not yet come. Only in Matthew 26 does Jesus say my hour is at hand. But in John chapter 2, at the first miracle, when Mary comes to him and lets him know the dilemma and he needs to do something about it because they ran out of wine, well, she was looking to Jesus to do something astounding, because it wasn't like, I got some money, would you run to the wine store, buy some more wine? Yeah. Something had to happen. And Jesus looks at her and he says, woman, my hour is not yet come. What hour? Did he think that he might get killed? Or was he saying the hour for the thing to begin, my image to change, the public ministry to start, and that's when everything's going to begin, is not now. And yet, he did only think those things he saw the Father doing. And in that moment, the Father said, go for it. And it was the first miracle. But it wasn't supposed to be, because Jesus has said, my hour's not yet come. But because he was willing to do God's will, he could hear the voice of God. You will know the teaching, whether it's of God. You hear me? And so when you get into chapter 7, the chapter that we're in, remember what Jesus says, the first verse in chapter 7 says that Jesus wasn't going to Judea because they were now seeking to kill him, which is where Jerusalem is, which is where all the feasts and festivals were. And now the Feast of Tabernacles, which is an 8-day feast, is happening, and his brothers began to mock him and dare him because it says they weren't yet believing in him. You need to go down. If you're really who you say you are, you need to go do some more of those miracles. All those who followers of yours would want you to be there. If you want a public ministry, you don't hide out. And Jesus said to them, my hour is not yet come. He says, but your hour is always at hand, your opportunity to start following and becoming a believer. That's another good word. Let me just say that to you. None of them believed, but one of those brothers, James, ended up writing one of the New Testament books and became the head of the church. He was the head of the church before Peter. It wasn't Peter, it was James. He was the head of the church in Jerusalem. But Jesus didn't seem too stressed out that they weren't believing yet. He just said, your opportunity's always at hand. But he told them, my hour's not yet come. And yet, he said that his brothers went up there, and at some point after they went, a couple of days later maybe, he went. Now, was he lying? My hour's not yet come. I mean, was he saying, I can't go now, they're seeking to kill me, and if I go, my time to die is not now, Feast of Tabernacles. My hour's not yet come, and so he didn't go up with them, and 2 days later he goes. Like, what? What's the deal? Jesus wasn't saying, my hour's not yet come, because I'll go, I'll die, even though they're seeking to kill me. He just said, Father hadn't said go. Because if you're willing to do his will, you'll know whether you're not supposed to go or go. And when in doubt, don't. But evidently a couple of days later, it was time. And then he went. But he wasn't going to go because the Father was holding him back, saying to him, they're seeking to kill you, so don't go. So my hour's not yet come to go, but now it was time to go. And when he got there, he went in the midst of all the people, in the middle of the feast, and starts teaching in the temple. That's not trying to hide out very well. And on the last day of the feast, this so festival is about people remembering how in the wilderness they were thirsting for the coming of the Messiah. And they did these water things all the time, pouring out water. We're looking for the coming of the Messiah who's going to change everything. And the last day of the feast, this one who wasn't going to go because they were seeking to kill him, and his hour had not yet come, he stands up in front of the whole crowd, the final day, the biggest day of all, and says, if any person thirst, let him come to me and drink. Doesn't sound like somebody hiding out to me. What's the explanation of all that? Maybe the father knew that if he had gone when the brothers went, there was somebody in Jerusalem who may have killed him or tried to, or maybe something may have happened. You ever had got caught in traffic? Have you ever thought the father's, Jesus has let go, the one who's teaching you the way, is that your hour's not yet come? Because maybe if you were to go and get there when you thought you were supposed to get there, something that wasn't supposed to happen wouldn't happen, that maybe the person you're going to need to walk across of, in front of, to give them a smile or say hello is the one who's going to have their life change, but the timing's all perfect. People question your decisions all the time. Here's the deal. If you're willing to do his will, he said, you'll know whether you'll hear the voice of God. And in this chapter, there's such practical stuff. Three times in this chapter, Jesus says, my hour's not yet come. But he wasn't talking about dying. He was just talking about just the life that he lived. So I'm encouraged to know this, is that one, if you want to know his voice, then all that it takes is you be willing to do his will. How can you know if you're not willing to do his will? Because you gripe and complain all the time. Because you see, here's the deal. He's sovereign God. He's ordering your steps. And so you got to yield to that. This is the way this life works. You're taken up in the river and you're being brought into the way. In Acts chapter 4, they say about Jesus, they said, the Father delivered him up, his purpose and predetermined plan to do whatever they wanted to do with him. Sounds like there's this dynamic of Jesus knowing who's in control, and yet at the same time, his making choices were important, but his choices were not difficult. He wasn't trying to make decisions. He was just trying to obey instructions. Because he was living by the life of another, and all he had to do, gosh, yeah, but Bishop, what if I miss it? All you have to concentrate on is be willing to do his will. Hallelujah. That's all. And then don't try to figure out, be introspective, are you getting it right, getting it wrong? Just live. Trusting that he's ordering your steps. Because it's hard to explain how Christians live. And what he said, the wind blows where it will. And same way when you're born again, it's just, it's not that you, it's just be willing to do his will. That's what Jesus said. And you'll come across, though you may be learned. He said, how come he's so learned without being educated? Maybe you've never been educated, but you're being learned. You're being taught by the Christ who lives in you to participate with him and to walk this way. I was talking to somebody precious this morning. They were saying how God was just doing these amazing things in our life, and they were sitting in front of a situation that may have frustrated them in the past, and like going, yeah, like Jesus is like the one, this is the most wonderful moment. These are the most wonderful people. And they're like going, yeah, yeah. People are getting it. Jesus was a simple man. He was just a carpenter. He was just a blue-collar guy. But because he was willing to do God's will, he just moved in the way. And just lived in the synergy of God's perfect will. And the things that came out of him sounded very learned. And he wasn't insecure. He didn't have to defend himself. There was nowhere in the chapter he says, you know, I know everybody wondered why I said it wasn't my hour and now I'm here. So I know that he didn't feel need to explain because he wasn't insecure. Because he was being governed by the voice. Because if you're willing to do his will, you'll know if the voice is from God. Amen? Amen. Such practical stuff. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Now we say all those things. We live in a community. We live in accountability, right? I thank God because I have people in my life who'll say, who'll question me. I go, are you sure that's the Lord? And sometimes I go, you know, actually, I ignored the voice and tried to make an excuse for doing what I'm doing. But this life is so simple. And the older I get, the simpler it is. The deeper you go, the simpler it becomes. Amen.